relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600. Welcome to GunBroker.com Second Amendment Friday. I am ecstatic about our partnership with my favorite gun site on the planet. GunBroker.com makes it so easy to visit one page to find and buy all the guns and accessories you could need, including ammunition, which today is quite a feat. If you're a gun enthusiast, sportsman, hunter, bookmark GunBroker.com and visit it at least once a day or more like me. Right now, I've got my eyes on a classic Smith & Wesson 617 22 caliber revolver, stainless steel. It's a beaut. We'll see if I win it. We are delighted to have GunBroker.com on board as our title sponsor for this hour every Friday. Celebrate the Second Amendment with me by going to GunBroker.com right now and discovering the perfect deal for you or a loved one. Now, back to our guest host, Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Welcome to America First. I'm Jennifer Horn. So happy to be filling in for Seb. Love that he gets some time away. And I love that I get to spend some time with you. You might hear me on Wednesdays on this program. I do the crazy California report. I am one of the, not one of them. There is a lot of enthusiasm in California for President Trump. And there is a movement with Republicans that we are working on in the state of California. I host the Morning Answer on AM 870 and AM 590. The Jen and Don Show on AM 590 on Salem Radio in Southern California. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. You can follow me on Twitter at Jennifer Horn. And of course, you can always follow Seb at Seb Gorka. Joining us right now to answer some questions about what the campaign is going to look like as President Trump gets a clear bill of health and gets to get back out there like he is so eager to do. Our friend Tim Murtaugh joins us right now. He's a director of communications for the Trump 2020 reelection campaign. You can follow him on Twitter too, at Tim Murtaugh. Tim, thanks for joining us on America First. Happy Friday.
Oh, happy Friday to you, Jennifer. Thanks for having me on. And I got to tell you, the day of the week doesn't really matter so much anymore with 24 days left.
Do you even have nighttime at this point? Do you even sleep?
I know. It's difficult to tell day from night and one day from another, but you can do anything for the next 24 days, and especially with something as important as reelecting President Trump.
Absolutely. And Tim, I was a Trump supporter from the beginning. I was one of the escalator fans of President Trump because I could see his unique ability to speak to the American people about issues that other politicians didn't have the backbone to talk about. And I think one of my favorite lines in the debate with Vice President Mike Pence this week and with Kamala Harris was her challenging the vice president about the trade war with China. And the vice president said something so important. He said, Joe Biden never went to that war. So many politicians, and I would say Republicans and Democrats at this point, didn't have that backbone until President Trump actually came and showed his leadership, not only in areas of foreign policy, but as a domestic policy as well. So this election is an important one. And I know things are tight in those swing states that will determine the election. So what did things look like? We know you had to make some changes because of President Trump's COVID diagnosis, but it seems he's feeling better. He'll be on with Tucker Carlson tonight. Do we start to slowly get back into rally mode? What's happening over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I think the president has been and is today very, very eager to get back on the campaign trail. And as you know, his doctor, Dr. Connolly, cleared him for regular, normal public engagements starting tomorrow, Saturday. And so I think you'll see the president back on the campaign trail just like the old days. And I know he's eager and ready to do it. And we are certainly ready to have him back, and those announcements will be coming as the events and venues are lined up. But I'm glad you brought up China there, because that's a very important point in this whole election. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest problems that Joe Biden has got. He has spent decades, going back into his early days in the Senate, spent all that time appeasing China and really advancing China's interests ahead of the interests of American workers. He argued very forcefully and supported most favored nation status for China, and he helped get China into the World Trade Organization. And that little maneuver cost the United States 60,000 factories and 3.5 million jobs. And even today, as you saw him on the campaign trail last year and this year, he jokes about the idea that China is even an economic threat. Everybody's seen the videotape.
Yeah.
What, China's going to eat our lunch? Come on, man.
Come on, man. Like, come on, Corn Pop.
Corn Pop might have been involved. And he does not take them as a serious threat. And even today, he says that he would take down the tariffs that the president has put on Chinese products and get nothing in return.
Yeah.
So again, promising to completely roll over for the Chinese and get nothing in return. And he has always believed that a strong China is good for the United States, when in fact it has cost us jobs. And his efforts to build up China's economy has severely hurt the United States economy and American workers. And he just doesn't get it. And President Trump does, thankfully.
And this isn't just about us, Tim. This isn't just about Tim Murtaugh and Jennifer Horn saying you should believe us. You can look at the results of the Obama administration. They handed over happily our manufacturing jobs, our intellectual property. They handed it over under the Clinton administration. No one talks about this, Tim. The reason that, and you know, all the left wants to make this whole election about COVID. And believe me, COVID is important. I had it. I recovered. The president had it. He's recovered. So many people have had it, and we're not as lucky as the president. And me and my family. But I'll tell you this, aside from COVID, one of the things that we can remember is that we had to rely on China for PPE. We had to rely on China for our pharmaceuticals, because all of our pharmaceutical business is in China. Why is it there? It's there because Bill Clinton let it go there. When he took away the incentives for that business to leave Puerto Rico, it went to China. And so, Tim, this is so important. If COVID is your number one issue, the person that you want in that White House is President Trump. So we can start to bring some of that business back to America so we don't have to rely on them when we get sick.
Absolutely. And since we're talking about China and COVID, let's remember that China is where this illness began, and they unleashed the virus on the rest of the world and then lied about it. They concealed details about the outbreak. They concealed details about how deadly the virus was, and they enlisted their partners in that lie and cover up, the World Health Organization. Mm-hmm. And when the president early on wanted to pinpoint China as the source and call out China, Joe Biden opposed that and said, oh, you're being xenophobic. And then when the president restricted travel from China to protect the United States, Biden called that xenophobic and fear-mongering. So we know that he would not have done that and made that difficult decision. It really is unprecedented. The world's second largest economy, the president cut off travel to the United States from people coming from that country. That's a big move. And Biden said, no, you shouldn't do that. And also, Biden says he would give American taxpayer dollars back to the WHO, which is the organization that helped China lie to the rest of the world and put everybody in the whole rest of the world behind the curve. And all the Democrats want to do, and all Joe Biden wants to do, and all the media wants to do, is somehow blame the global pandemic on Donald Trump, when in fact it was China. It was China who unleashed it on the world, and the president has done everything in his power to protect Americans from that. And remember, the projections were for 2.2 million people to die.
That's right. That's right.
And so what the president has done has succeeded. It has worked. Every life lost is tragic, and far too many Americans have died based on what China did to the rest of the world. But the president acted swiftly. He acted firmly. And we know, because he said so, Joe Biden would not have taken the same steps.
And he also showed some optimistic leadership. You know, Tim, what I tell people is when I had COVID, the most terrifying thing is that you sit there and you listen to the news media and you feel like you're going to die. You feel like you've got this ticking time bomb inside of you. And I celebrate the president coming out saying that you can beat this. You're okay. You're going to get through this. We're going to provide you with the support you need. And I think that is so important in a leader to lead us through a pandemic instead of having us cower in fear. Now, in our last minute here with you, Tim, I want to talk about the debates. Love your thoughts on Mike Pence's pretty stunning performance. I thought he was fantastic against Kamala Harris, and what the debates might look like now that the debate commission has started to make these changes, and President Trump says he won't come on the 15th, but now we're looking maybe at the 22nd?
Well, the vice president, first of all, did a fantastic job just surgically destroying Joe Biden's candidacy and Kamala Harris there in person on the debate stage, and he went through it. We know that Joe Biden's going to raise taxes on 82% of Americans. We know that he's opposed to fracking, which will kill hundreds of thousands of jobs in states like Pennsylvania. And he talked about the Biden rolling over for China. As we move forward, there's no medical reason why we can't have the debate in person in Miami on Thursday this week coming up. The president will be healthy and ready. We are committed to the one that's on the 22nd in Nashville. That'll be a one-on-one debate on foreign policy. And we want to have the full complement of three debates that we all agreed to. Joe Biden has always been looking for excuses to back out. We thought a virtual debate is a disservice to Americans and puts way too much control into the hands of the technicians and the directors.
And we want to see body language. We want to see leadership. We want to see how they handle stress. And that's important for us to see from Joe Biden. Tim Murtaugh, we're out of time, but thank you so much for being with us. Follow him right now at Tim Murtaugh. And, of course, you can get more information about the Trump campaign at DonaldJTrump.com. More up ahead, Jennifer Horn in for Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. What a pleasure it is to hang out and spend a Friday with all of you. Thank you for joining me. I'm Jennifer Horn. Happy to be in for Seb Gorka, reminding you to check out his website, sebgorka.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Seb Gorka. You can follow me on Twitter at Jennifer Horn. And you can always call us. We want to stay in touch with you at all times. 833-33-GORKA is a number to call and comment on anything that we're talking about today on America First. 833-33-GORKA. Now, I tell you, I'm on loan from our station in Los Angeles, AM 870, The Answer, which is a Salem affiliate, AM 590, The Answer, in the Inland Empire at San Bernardino. And I've been born and raised in Los Angeles. I've lived here my whole life, which is at least 29 years plus a few. And less funny, the older you get, the less years you add on to that 29. I have always paid attention to local news, and our local news in Southern California has done a really good job of usually reporting at least the basics as to what is going on in Southern California. It's, for me, local news I can trust. And I was pretty stunned this week. I was doing some research for my morning show, and I happened to see that the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department, had sent out a tweet. And in the tweet, they said that there were riots in downtown Los Angeles. And so I started looking around and doing some Google searching, and I had to dig pretty deep. And I came across an article and some accounts on Twitter that showed that there were some riots going on in downtown LA. They happened on Monday night. And this wasn't just a tussle. This wasn't a few protesters out there holding signs. This was Black Lives Matter and Antifa joining together, hundreds of people deep, on the streets of downtown Los Angeles. And they caused, according to news reports now that I'm seeing in some conservative publications, millions of dollars worth of damage. They went through and shut down and knocked down the barriers in front of the LAPD police headquarters. They even deployed a pipe bomb on the streets of Los Angeles. All of this largely unreported by our local media. And it wasn't until I started digging around and actually saw something on Fox News National that this caught my attention. And I couldn't figure out why we weren't seeing this, why something so significant wouldn't be reported by the news media here in Southern California. And again, I wasn't really even thinking about the bias that we see in mainstream national news media. I was just simply wondering why it didn't show up. We heard cases, or we heard stories on Twitter of people who were standing in front of police cruisers who were saying, kill me, just blanking, kill me, begging officers to inflict violence on them, causing all sorts of trouble. And again, millions of dollars in damage in the second biggest city in the country. And nothing. It was literally crickets. And so as I went down this rabbit hole, I was really surprised to find a story from the Associated Press. And for those of you who may not know, I was a journalism major. So this story probably resonated with me more than anybody else. The very first day of journalism school, you get a book. It's called the Associated Press Style Book. And inside that book, it sort of looks like a dictionary. It has words and phrases in it, and it tells reporters what's acceptable in spellings, abbreviations, and how to use common terminology when you're writing newspaper articles. And every journalist uses this book, refers to it to put out articles, and even people in the publicity industry use it to write press releases. So this style book is really important. And what I learned in digging around in all of this from the New York Post is that the Associated Press has now come out and changed their style book for the media to talk about what we normal, honest, everyday people would classify as riots. Listen to this. The Associated Press style book, the standards are followed by countless outlets, last week announced new guidelines around reporting on riots. Now, AP suggests replacing the word riot with milder terms such as unrest. They say that the destruction hits minorities hardest and that people who have spent years building up businesses had it all lost in a night, that maybe their efforts didn't matter quite as much as the minorities that were hit hardest. They said that the term riot caused too much connotation of a negative connotation, I guess, for people of other races and socioeconomic classes. And it even went on to explain how riots should be talked about in media. And the focus, instead of on property destruction, should instead be shifted to what was behind the riots and the protests to begin with. Now, I thought this was pretty outrageous because it's not, and it really isn't even all that political. What it is a lack of truth that we're seeing, a lack of transparency that we're seeing, and it's making its way through all sorts of media. Instead of having a journalist going out to report the simple facts, like I was trained to do when I went through college, who, what, when, where, and how, that's what journalists are supposed to answer. We are now getting a different view. It's looked at through a different lens. We're getting told what's appropriate to tell people, the appropriate truth. And it troubles me. And I wonder if it troubles you too. 833-33-GORKA is the number to call to join me in conversation. 833-33-GORKA. Couple of things on the table here. The fact that there are riots in a major Los Angeles city resulting in millions of dollars worth of property damage, just unreported by the media. And then finding out when you dig deeper that the media is not reporting all of this because the Associated Press has told them that the word riots is too harsh and that instead they should talk about the cause of those riots. It seems pretty despicable to me. It seems that this is a core issue in our country right now. What is truth and where do we find it? Because it used to be the media's job to present us with at least something that we would consider to be truthful, an answer to questions about events that are happening around us that have real ramifications on our life. And instead, we're being inundated with a news media that is picking and choosing what we hear, what we know, what we learn. And there was no bigger example of that than this week when the reports came out about Hillary Clinton, Fusion GPS, and John Brennan directly, as former director of the CIA, briefing President Obama about the fact that Hillary Clinton had paid for that opposition research that was the catalyst for the investigation into the Trump campaign. If you were a person who did not watch Fox News, One America News, or listen to conservative talk radio, you did not hear that story. The closest that the mainstream news media came was in a very soft interview with John Brennan. And that's the truth. A lot of people miss that. So we'll take your phone calls on the media's role, what they're doing, how they're harming society by not reporting truth. Where do we find that? How do we educate our kids? How do we talk to our neighbors and friends if we don't even have a basis of what's happening around us? It's a scary prospect, and we'll take your phone calls on that. 833-33-GORKA. That's the number to call, 833-33-GORKA. You can check it out. Also, follow us on Twitter, at Seb Gorka, at Jennifer Horn. And you can always watch our live stream on Facebook, on Twitter, and on YouTube. Just search for Seb Gorka. This is Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka on America First.
FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you by GunBroker.com.
The Supreme Court, which just opened its new term on Monday, has only 8 justices on board due to the vacancy, which won't be filled until President Trump's nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, is confirmed by the Senate. Those hearings start next week. But very soon, in fact, on November the 4th, the High Court will consider a dispute that impacts the religious liberty of a Philadelphia foster care agency that's been excluded from the city's foster care system simply because it objects on religious grounds to placing foster children with same-sex couples. Alliance Defending Freedom is a nonprofit legal organization that is the gold standard for defending religious freedom in America. ADF has litigated and achieved 11 victories at the U.S. Supreme Court just since 2001, and ADF has played a big role in 60 victories at the High Court. Right now, I'd like you to go to Seb's website. That's SebGorka.com to join him in supporting Alliance Defending Freedom. This is so important. Click on the banner at the top of the page. Your single gift of $100 or more will help keep ADF on guard and protecting your rights. In front of the Supreme Court or around the corner, right in your neighborhood where it matters most. Again, go to SebGorka.com and click on the ADF banner to make your gift. Or you can call 877-412-5888. That's 877-412-5888. Cast your early vote for freedom today by joining me, Seb Gorka, and freedom-loving Americans from coast to coast in stepping up to support Alliance Defending Freedom. Again, the number 877-412-5888 or sebgorka.com. Earlier today, old Fancy Nancy, who is Gavin Newsom's aunt. We like to remind you of that here on America First. Fancy Nancy took to the microphone. She took to the podium after making a promise yesterday that the media should come back tomorrow for an update on just how she intends to use the 25th Amendment and use it to her political advantage. Take a listen. This happened early this morning. Nancy Pelosi standing next to Jamie Raskin, who's a Democrat from Maryland and a constitutional attorney. Nancy Pelosi said that the 25th Amendment is going to be more important than ever. Wonder why that is. Take a listen, Nancy.
This is not about President Trump. He will face the judgment of the voters. But he shows the need for us to create a process for future presidents. Throughout America's history, our leaders have created and strengthened guardrails in the Constitution to ensure stability and continuity of government in times of crisis. The 25th Amendment creates a path for preserving stability if a president suffers a crippling physical or mental problem and is, unquote, in the amendment, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office and transfers his powers. Specifically, Section 4 of the amendment empowers Congress to set up an independent body to confront such a crisis.
Now, that's a voice of Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who earlier today said she was creating a commission to have oversight of the 25th Amendment. Look, the 25th Amendment is there for very good reasons, and it's there. Past presidents have used it when they were either incapacitated for medical reasons to even use it on themselves. It's also important for Congress to be able to pull that trigger, right? We have a system of co-equal branches of government to ensure that there are checks and balances, but you have to be sure that you can trust the people who are holding the trigger on the 25th Amendment. And this commission launched is usually it will be seen as symbolic. It won't go anywhere in the Senate. But certainly this could be Nancy Pelosi laying the path for a couple of things. Is she actually targeting Donald Trump? Or could it be, struck me, that maybe she's targeting Sleepy Joe? Maybe she's looking at Joe Biden and saying this could be a storyline that we start now to try to get him out of office so that we can get President Kamala Harris. Apparently, I wasn't the only one who thought that. Donald Trump thought it, too. He tweeted earlier, crazy Nancy Pelosi is looking at the 25th Amendment in order to replace Joe Biden with Kamala Harris. The Dems want that to happen fast because Sleepy Joe is out of it. So could it be true that this is not about Trump, that instead it's about Joe? Mark is in California on line one. Hi, Mark. You have about 30 seconds. Do you think this is about Donald Trump or is it about Joe Biden?
No, I think it's about a consistent behavior of the left. You know, they attack everything that we have in our life that we use to navigate, all the reference points. And that's to make us easier to manipulate. And as Dennis Prager said, if somebody's going to manipulate somebody else, they're either being immoral or evil. And I think we need to focus on that just a little bit. You're right in pointing it out, but it works for the AP style manual. It works for the 25th Amendment. Whatever you want to look
at. Mark, you're right. You're right about that. Thank you for the phone call. Thank you, Mark, in California. Absolutely hitting that one on the head. All right. As we continue, there's a whole lot more. It's Second Amendment Friday. It happens next. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
This is Second Amendment Friday on America First, brought to you by GunBroker.com.
GunBroker.com is the world's largest digital marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories, and a whole lot more. The gun selection is unparalleled with over 1 million daily listings. At GunBroker.com, you are guaranteed to find the gun of your dreams. I have. More than once. Shop at GunBroker.com today. Especially if you're looking for that thing that makes guns worthwhile. You know, the things you put in the gun, the ammunition, the cartridges. Pretty hard to find right now in those COVID-crazed days, but you can at GunBroker.com. And he has been absent from us for far too long. He is the man who has one of the coolest jobs in the world. Former Army Special Forces Ranger qualified host
of Hollywood weapons. Terry Shepard, welcome back to America First.
Nice to be back, and boy, are you right about the ammo thing. I wish I had learned, I don't know about you, I don't know if you, I wish I had learned how to reload a long time ago, because those guys are laughing at the bank.
I can't reload. You need to be meticulous. You don't want me reloading. I'm going to put three charges. No way. You're going to put like three times the amount of, you know, cordite in your thing. No. I'm going to buy factory ammo. Forget investing in gold. Invest in ammo. Go to gunbroker.com. Before we get to guns, before we get to things military, Terry, you have to solve a problem for us. Are you a popular culture guy?
I sort of used to be. I feel like now I'm kind of almost in, I'm on the cusp of Gen X and Boomer. So tell me what you got. Let me see.
All right, so you're the same age as me. So we will allow you no rehearsal. You will settle a raging, raging inferno of a debate in this studio for the last 24 hours. Thumbs up or thumbs down for Scrappy Doo? And don't say, what's a Scrappy Doo?
I'm going to have to go ahead and say thumbs down.
Whoa, no! Horror! Horror! Wrong answer, Terry Shepard! Oh, my gosh. Shad is reeling with happiness now.
Hey, you know, I never miss. I never miss.
You did so. You told him. You told Terry. He's been paid with ammo. You're sending him 1,000 rounds of 9mm. I know it.
No. By the way, I would have, if you were going to give me 1,000 rounds of 9mm, I'd have said whatever you wanted me to say. But since I didn't even know this question was coming, that was a legit fair question. And even when you said it, I thought, are these guys messing with me right now?
Never.
Scrappy Doo, not good. Not good.
All right. I will stick to my friend Scrappy Doo. Okay. We can talk about guns, but first things first, I have to read to you this. This is from military.com. So this is really, really, I'm not going to even commentate on it. I want you to reply.
Yeah.
Matthew Cox. The Army has suspended a rule requiring new enlisted soldiers and officers to pass the Army Combat Fitness Test to graduate initial military training through next year. Quote, Megan Reed, spokeswoman for the Army's Center for Initial Military Training. The Army Combat Fitness Test will no longer be used as a graduation requirement in initial military training. All soldiers are challenged to pass ACFT 2.0. However, no adverse administrative actions will be taken against a soldier for failing. Your response, Terry Shepard?
That's absolutely insane. Yeah, that's insane. I don't even. This is a huge problem. This kind of stuff, though, Seb, you know, you're plugged into our community very well. I was actually just down at Camp McCall a couple weeks ago. Actually, not long after my father died, I had a job to work with new guys in Robin Sage. And it was
Oh my
great,
gosh!
By the way. It was,
this is my that's my yeah, biggest you, thing. I want to be one of the guests. Performers on Robin Sage.
By the way, I wanted to tell you that some of the instructors there, you know, they were happy to have me, and it was great. But someone mentioned you. I said, actually, Seb Gork is a friend of mine. You gave me so much clout because they really do. The guys down there really do dig you, and they respect what you say.
So for those who aren't familiar, it's part of the Q course, the selection course, the qualification course for the Green Berets. They have a field exercise that is a guerrilla counter-guerrilla exercise, and the whole thing happens in the forest, and it's called Robin Sage. That's what Terry's talking about. Carry on, Terry.
Right. I assume you're right. That's kind of people are like, what the heck is he talking about? Yeah, so it was great. So I was actually a role player there. I'm actually going to be going back in December in an even more kind of involved role.
And are you like the local mayor of the insurgents? What role did they give you? I want to be the local mayor who's a real troublemaker.
No, you would be. Listen, when we get it done, I will. Anytime you want to come down there, you're in because they love you. And it kind of was great because I was around all these young studs. And I said to them when it was all over, I said, I was standing where you were in 1993. And they looked at me. I said, yeah, we were using chainmail and crossbow bolts when I went through the course, which they laughed. But my point about
trebuchets,
bringing that in,
automatic trebuchets, 50 cal trebuchets. It's my favorite.
Yeah, we used trebuchets and siege engines and all that other kind of stuff to take out. But you know, I'm looking at these cats, these young studs, and I'm thinking, you know, kind of get to the point of what you just asked me. you know, there are certain standards that have to be there, and it doesn't matter, you know, things like the land nab and all that kind of stuff. And some of that has even been, they've loosened up a little bit of that from what I'm told. And that's a problem because, you know, the standards are there for a reason. And by the way, the Army physical, the physical combat test, because they've changed it. It's not that hard. It really isn't that hard to get to just pass it. I mean, to be great at it is, you know, is something different. Anytime you do something like that, not only do you cheapen the end result, you know, either graduating basic or graduating the Q course, but you're also not making that force any better at all. As a matter of fact, you're making them weak. I think to me that to guys like us, that is self-evident. And that's the problem when you start getting into the social justice warrior experiments and, you know, kind of participation ribbons and things like that. The military is not a participation thing. You have to do certain things to move on. If you don't do that, then why have a military? It's insane.
There is no participation prize, especially if you're involved with the kinds of things Terry's been involved with. I have a trip coming up to the 7th Special Forces Group at Elgin. Can't wait to see those bad hombres. In the meantime, check out Hollywood Weapons, Fact or Fiction, with a man who has one of the coolest jobs in the world, Terry Shepard. Follow him right now at Terry Shepard. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C. Back to our guest host, Jennifer Horn.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Alliance Defending Freedom.
Thanks for joining us. It's a Friday edition of America First. It's just nice to say Friday. These weeks during 2020, they just seem to be very long, and it's like a ceiling fan with the news cycle. It's tough to try to keep up. I'm Jennifer Horn. I host The Morning Answer on AM 870, The Answer in Los Angeles. My co-host is Brian Whitman. I'm the conservative crusader. He's the lovable liberal, and we love each other, but we bicker a lot. Well, we don't bicker, but we have spirited debates all morning long. You can join us there if you're in LA. You can download our AM 870 The Answer app. I'm so honored to be filling in again for Seb Gorka, and always want to remind you to check out his website as well, sebgorka.com. You can become a member of Gorka's cabinet for all kinds of cool additional content. Happening just a few moments ago on Twitter, remember Senator Bob Dole? Bob Dole sent out a tweet backing up the president's claim that the Commission on Presidential Debates are comprised of a group of anti-Trumpers, never Trumpers. He said the Commission on Presidential Debates is supposedly bipartisan with an equal number of R's and D's. I know all of the Republicans and most are friends of mine. I am concerned that none of them support at real Donald Trump. A biased debate commission is unfair. That's the claim being made by President Trump. He has been out in media all day today saying that the debate commission didn't even consult him before canceling the virtual or making the debate virtual, which he feels is an attempt to help Joe Biden. They did that this week, and now that debate seems to be the way of the wind. Seems like it will not be happening. We're also talking today about Nancy Pelosi, talking about the 25th Amendment and a new commission that will provide additional oversight over the physical and mental health of the president. Olivia is in South Carolina on line five. Hi, Olivia.
Hey, I actually was calling about your remark that you made about this somewhat of a censorship of what the reporters can or cannot say.
Right.
And it reminded me from, I'm from Berlin, Germany. I grew up in the American sector when the wall was still up, and we were able to get the East Berlin kind of news as well. And they were basically just lying straight out that he's saying, oh, there's, you know, East Berlin is great. There's nothing going on. Everything is wonderful. But we're getting all the other reports because we're right there at the wall of what really truly is happening. So to me, that is alarming to hear that this is kind of happening here. And this is not even from the government yet. But is this not almost looking like it's going to be the government telling the journalist of what to say, how to say it?
Olivia, you are so right on the money, and you are not the only person from Europe that has talked about these concerns, how we are getting so extremely close to socialism, to communism. Think about this. We know what the mainstream news media looks like today. We know all of the stuff they're not telling us. Wait till the Democrats hold control of the White House. Does that mean that state-run media is up ahead? Do we start to look a whole lot more like China after one bad election? Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.